Well, she gets all blamed for enough. Now, we're going to start. No, that sounds better, doesn't it? Oh, that's too long, that one. Don't want you to spend all night, all day reading. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, yeah. Now, we may not get around to reading them all, but if not, you can always. Oh, okay, pass it behind you then. Yeah. And, yeah. We're going to start in, that's a long one, so we won't use that. We'll use a shorter one there. We're going to start in Luke chapter 3. There we go. In Luke chapter 3, we have John the Baptist. And I'm just going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read the first two to start with. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. I always like this passage because it talks about all these world leaders, you know, and yet God didn't speak to any of them. He spoke to some wild prophet in the backside of the desert. And I always thought that's of interest. He ignored Caesar, he ignored Herod, he ignored even the religious leaders of the day, Caiaphas and Annas, and he spoke to John. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. That part is yet to come. We haven't had an altar call yet. I can hear myself. You can't?
No, it's going in and out.
It's what?
It's going in and out.
Oh, in and out. Okay. So on. Nothing? Nope, there now? All right. Okay, we can close in prayer now. Is that 10 after 10? Oh, that's right, okay. Yeah. Very good, because we came home from the cottage after being away, and our clock is like 4 hours off. So I just never know. Yeah. Okay. Every valley shall be made low at every mountain. That's yet to be fulfilled. It will happen when the Messiah comes. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said, now that's interesting, isn't it, Gary? Out of all those 8 billion people, one day all flesh will see it. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is the message the people heard. It would be a little unnerving, wouldn't it, if I was to give that message to you this morning. So the people's response is, verse 10, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now these are people that came to John and were baptized for remission, baptized for remission of sins, that's right, and yet the first question is, after hearing the rest of his message, because the God of judgment, and there's coming a day of accounting, is what shall we do then? This same question is repeated in Ezekiel. I think somebody has it in Ezekiel. Now, I've got a copy of notes here. Now, just in case any of you are interested, there's all these verses that I handed out are on this sheet. I'm going to leave one for the pastor if he can photocopy it, if you want that list of verses, because they all tell of things that God expects of us and asks of us. And each one of you has one of them. And the one in Ezekiel 33:10, does somebody have that? Key? Yes, how then can we live? The Apostle Paul also repeats it in Romans. And so there's a common question in response to God saving us is, how then shall we live? And you notice what he says in verse 11. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. What does that sound like? The Beatitudes, right? Where Jesus said, if somebody asks you for a coat, if he asks you to go a mile, you're to go two. And if he asks for a coat, well, you don't have to give him two. But now it's interesting here because he says, if you have two, then you give him one. So he's not saying you go without one, because I can just see Gary and Larry arguing, you know, give me your coat. Give me your coat back. Give me your coat. You know, just end up with rags, bro. But anyways, it's... And then it goes on, and then came the publicans to be baptized, and they said unto the master, what shall we do? The same question. He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Now, if you're familiar with the publicans, what they were is tax collectors. And say the office of tax collector came up in this community, and I put in a bid for it, and I won the bid, then I would come along and I'd collect taxes from each one of you. And your tax might only be $10, but I might charge you $15. And so that extra money is what I would make. And so that's why he's saying here, exact no more than that which is appointed you. In other words, you can earn your living, but don't extort people. And then the soldiers came in verse 14. Soldiers, that's interesting. And likewise demanded of him, what shall we do? So this was the same question that was upon everyone's mind. And it says, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as I said, each one of the pieces of paper I gave you has another exhortation from God as to how we are to conduct ourselves. Who has Micah 6:8? Right. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. This is a favorite verse of many people. It pretty much sums up a lot of this whole question. And Luke 6:28, did somebody have that? Yeah. So that's not an easy thing to do, but that's what we're exhorted to do. Again, part of the Beatitudes. Now, Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 13, It's a long one. I didn't give it to anyone because it's long. I don't think I gave it to anyone. I think I kept it. Isaiah 58. And basically, Isaiah 58 is a very interesting chapter. It's talking about fasting and how the fast that God requires of people and not necessarily the way people give it. And it says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that every yoke be broken? Is it not to deal bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor and that are cast out to thy house?" Now, you'll probably recall each one of these things as things that the Lord Jesus reiterated. The one that says, bring the poor to your house, I was reading that just the other day, where there's a tendency, and you and I are guilty of it, I know you are, because we're all like that, but how often do we invite our friends over for dinner? Yeah, all the time. When was the last time you invited a poor person or a stranger or a neighbor or somebody you don't even know, but they're a neighbor, and invite them over to dinner? We don't tend to do that, but that's exactly what the Lord Jesus exhorted us, to invite people who cannot repay us necessarily. There's many, even somebody who could, but just somebody you don't know, but would like to know or should get to know, so that you can share the gospel with them if the Lord opens that door to one of those 8 billion people that Gary was talking about. So another, and it goes on, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Just exactly like Matthew 25, where it says to feed the, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. How many of you have ever visited somebody in prison? Ah, wonderful. I haven't. I'm guilty. Maybe we should, what about a letter campaign? You know, just writing a letter to somebody. Has anybody written a letter to somebody in prison? Yeah, I write to the people in China that are imprisoned for their faith. The overseas missionary fellowship and the Voice of the Martyrs has a letter writing program. And it is very influential. Even if it's sent in English, don't put your home address on it. Just put from Canada, and because you could get in trouble in the future. But the number of letters that come in on behalf of a prisoner has a great deal of sway. If any of you have read about those two ladies that were in prison in Iran a few years ago, Miriam and another M letter. I can say anything because you won't know the difference anyway. But Mariana or something like that. But the two ladies, and they were not aware of it, but they were getting all kinds of mail coming in, and it had its effect on the government. Because one of the problems with some of those countries is, not a problem, but a sensitivity, is shame. They do not like shame. So anyways, we'll carry on here. And this is interesting. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call on the Lord, and he shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. I don't know if you're aware of it, but that's the only time in the scriptures where God says, here I am. All the others, it's one of the servants saying, here I am, like Isaiah, or you know, who shall go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. There's many of them, but this is the only time God says, here I am, to answer your prayer and to stand with you because you have done all these things in obedience to me. But anyways, it could go on, and so we'll leave that reference for you if you want, Isaiah 58. It's a wonderful chapter. Now, Zechariah 7, verses 9 to 10. Does somebody have that? Yes, very good. You notice that last expression, in the heart, in your heart. Because a lot of things can be done with the lip and even with the hand, but from the heart, That's a little more difficult, and we're going to talk about that this morning in the morning service, that so much is important upon the heart. So again, executing true judgment. You remember in Matthew 7, verse 1, the one verse in the Bible that every unbeliever knows? Judge not. And yet, if all of these verses you will read in them, and most of them will have God saying, judge righteous judgment. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 7, judge righteous judgment. In fact, one of the main pitfalls of Israel, why it went into captivity, because they did not have judgment. They let everybody do whatever they wanted, and they all ended up in a sin and just an awful thing, and so he brought in judgment upon them. And so God is very anxious for us to have righteous judgment, and very important in our lives. Zechariah 8, 16 and 17. We're going to do 9. Yeah. Okay, maybe I didn't hand it out. It says this: these are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth, and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts, again, and his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. That's a good study in itself, all the things that God hates. We don't have time for that, but maybe a sermon someday on that would be good. Malachi 6:5. Anybody have 6:5? No, it says, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against the oppressed, the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside strangers from his right, and fear not me. These are all negative things we are to avoid, and instead we are to do the opposite. Psalm 15. Somebody have Psalm 15? I think it's verses 1 to 5. Okay.
Psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that abideth in his house, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh other reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes the vile persons condemn, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth not, he that sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to treasury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be.
Right. These are the ones who shall abide in the tabernacle of the Lord forever and shall never be moved. I like that one where sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. When you make a promise, you keep it. Oaths are very important to God. Samson made an oath and he violated it. And you know what happened to Samson? Of course you do, because I spoke on it the last time I was here. Okay. Psalm 24:4.
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
Right. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. And Psalm 83, verse 3 and 4. No one? Okay. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. So you see, there's a great concern of the Lord for the poor, the widow, the fatherless, and the needy. Let's see. That was 82? Yeah. Psalm 40, verse 4. Yes. We must remember that when it comes the next time to vote. No, I don't mean that of anyone in particular, but just generally, politicians will promise you anything, and they don't really care. We'll touch on that a little bit this morning without mentioning too much in particular, but I guess I'm thinking a lot of Cuba in that regard, too. Lies, you know, politics. It's even some of our news media that is governed by governments. Again, I'll think of Cuba, but Canada as well. Any of them, really. It's turning aside to lies. Yeah. Romans 6:13. Anyone? Okay. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Not so much a direction of detailed things that you're to do or not to, but a general principle of yielding yourself to God, and that would mean from the study of his word and the leading of his spirit. Rather than resisting God or yielding to something else, to sin, we yield ourselves to God. Acts 20, verse 35. Okay, I must have given you the wrong one. Acts 20:35?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry.
Do you want to...
Okay. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Right. That's an interesting verse because it quotes the Lord Jesus, who it's not mentioned in the Gospels, okay? It's an important verse to have marked in your Bible. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I know you've heard it before, but this is where it comes from. You won't find it in the Gospels. So again, remembering the weak and supporting those in need again. Acts 2, verse 37. Right. This is an interesting verse. I spoke on Father's Day and mentioned this verse because a generation ago, some of you older people would remember it, but when I was first saved, that's going back, I think, 51 years now, it was very common if you were to ask an older person, when was it you were saved? You know, when did you come to the Lord? They would quote the day of their baptism. Yeah, you remember that? And I remember some of the evangelists of the day would be critical of that. Oh, no, no, that's not when you're saved. You were received when you prayed to accept the Lord. Baptism is later. And I understand why, but you see, we're a little slack in this country. It has something to do with not wanting to be baptized in ice water. So we usually wait till spring or summer or do it indoors, and it's usually delayed. But in the early church, if you read the book of Acts, when a person got saved, they were baptized. Saved, baptized. And around the world, out of those 3 billion people that Gary was talking about, most of them, when they come to the Lord, they are baptized almost immediately. And that's why they date it from their baptism, because it is the first act of obedience to the Lord. And it is their testimony. Remember when Jesus said, if you will confess me before men? That's what baptism is. It's a public confession before people, before your community. And we don't think a lot of it here, but there are places in the world where when you decide to be baptized, you might come up out of the waters of baptism and be killed. It's a serious thing for many places in the world, and we just take it so lightly. So that's why I wanted to mention that one, even though it doesn't talk about any particular act that you were to do as far as supporting the poor and the fatherless, yet it is important because that's what the first response, the first church on the day of Pentecost, as the church is born and Peter preaches his 5-minute sermon, which you'll be lucky. Never mind. And at the end of that sermon, the people are convicted. There's the Spirit and the men speaking in tongues and like languages, and they're hearing, and there's a wonder. Everything's going, and yet they're under conviction, and they see the power of God, and they say, "What must we do?" Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it's a very important verse. It's the first message of the church of the Lord through his servant to the church on the day of Pentecost. So we should not take it lightly. Ephesians 4. That's a long one. Did I give somebody Ephesians 4? Or did I keep that back? Yeah, I did? Okay. It's a long one. Very good. That's a long list. I'm going to just hold this down because I think you can hear my breathing, can't you? Yeah. They'll think something's weird going on there. So, yeah, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Does she do that, Gary? No. Okay. And then notice it says, being tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I was having a conversation with my son, and I wrote back to him afterwards. I said, one of the verses that applies to our discussion was, if ye forgive not your brother, neither will your father forgive you your trespasses. Now, you have to be careful there because you might think, well, does that mean I lose my salvation? Well, no, because that's not related. What it does mean, though, is it will cost you. One day in the future, when you either die or are raptured and you stand before the Lord, if you have not forgiven your brother the transgressions, then he will not. It will be accountable. It will be one of those works of wood, hay, and stubble that will be consumed, and you will pay the cost. In fact, the Lord Jesus mentions about if you have something against your brother and you're going to worship God, forget it. Leave your gift there, go and make it right with your brother, and then come. Because if you don't, you will be, the parable there is to be put into jail until you have paid the uttermost farthing. In other words, it will cost you. Okay? So let's make that clear. It's very important that you forgive one another because it will cost you if you don't. I've always wondered about being in prison and paying the uttermost farthing. How can you possibly make a farthing when you're in prison? You see the problem? You know, you're in prison, you can't make that farthing to pay off your debt. So who pays your debt? Yeah, friends, family, relatives. And when it comes to our situation spiritually, if the Lord Jesus does not pay for your debt, then you will pay for it forever. Do I make myself clear there? When it comes to our sins, and this is what I was talking to my son about, justice. A lot of the philosophies and New World religions and some of the other cults and so on all come down to an end time when there will be a balance between good and evil, and everything will be made an equilibrium in the universe. And there is an essence in which that is true. The essence is this: every sin must be paid for if there is to be peace in the universe. You can either accept the payment of the Lord Jesus for your sin, or you can pay for your own sin forever in hell. And that is the choice, and that's what will one day happen, take place. And that's why it is so important to have the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Matthew 25, 35. Somebody have that? Yeah, naked you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. I guess we've already commented on those things, but it's never, I just want to reiterate how often these exhortations are found in God's word. Again, I have this list of, I didn't count them actually. But anyways, if you'd like that list, you can check with that, the pastor later. And then Leviticus 19, 18. Now, that's a verse that you should have marked in your Bible, because it is the only place in the Old Testament where it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And yet the Lord Jesus said that is the second and greatest commandment of all. You know that from Matthew 22, I believe it is, where they challenged him and said, what is the greatest commandments? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is where it comes from. So you should know where that is. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Job 29, 12. Right. Oh, I like that. No one to help them. He helped because someone had no one else to help them. I wonder if we run into people like that. Maybe I shouldn't share this with you. I don't know. I'm going to share it with you anyway. It's going to cost me, okay? The other little while ago, I was over at the cottage, and I had to get my boat fixed, and I drove in, but I had to go to the bank to get some money, so I had to pull in, and the bank didn't have any parking spot, and I had the truck with the sailboat, so I had to pull in next door to the Dairy Queen where there was a double parking, you know how they are, you know, you need lots of space. Nobody was eating there. I don't know why, because it was very good food, I found out. Anyways, as I was walking up, after I went to the bank, I walked over to the Dairy Queen, and as I was walking up to the door, this homeless person came up with his bicycle, and he said, and I didn't understand a word he said, but that's partly my hearing because I'm old, and partly his speech because he talks like some of you. But but anyways, he basically asked for some money, so I had just been to the bank. Anyway, I whipped out a $20 bill. Don't tell my wife. And I gave it to him. But she doesn't. She never listened. But anyways, so then I went in to get something to eat. And when I came out, he was there at the door. He wanted to give me some winter mittens. It was the only thing he had to give me. And I said, well, I don't really need them. I don't think they'll fit, and they're pretty. I don't go for pretty. But anyways, I have something for you, and I went to my car to get a tract. And I opened the door, and I got the tract, and I turned around, and there he was. And he wanted to give me my mittens. So I gave him the tract, and he gave me the mittens. I bought a pair of, I can sell them to you for $20 if anyone's interested. But anyways, the point is, what is the point? Helping somebody who the Lord put in your way. And if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 14, the reason why God gives you abundance is so that you can share it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8:14. I'm pretty sure I have that reference correct. That's why we have abundance in this country. It is to share with those who have not. And so anyway, where was I headed for that in the end? It doesn't matter. Helping somebody who nobody else is helping. Yeah. Okay. So, Zechariah 8:6. Is that you? No? You're Zechariah 9. Did I say that one? No. Who has Zechariah 8:6? Oh, yeah. No, we're good. When am I supposed to quit? Quarter two? Yeah, okay. We got 7 minutes. All right. Zechariah 8:6. Anyone? These are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man truth. Maybe we said that already. Anyways, execute judgment. Speak the truth. Peace in your gates. No one imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Oh, love, no false oath. Yeah, okay. Maybe I went Ezekiel 33:14. Right. Okay. It also says to restore the pledge, to give again that he had robbed. Do you remember Zacchaeus? The wee little man went up in the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to your house for tea. And Zacchaeus promised to return fivefold everything he had stolen. And this is what it comes from. It's an obedience to the Old Testament law, but it was restoring that which he had stolen. And yeah. And it's a matter of turning. Ezekiel 33 is a wonderful passage. I don't know if I've ever spoken on it before, but it talks about the righteous man. And no matter how righteous he is all his life, if he should turn away from the Lord, all his righteousness will be counted as nothing. And yet if the wicked man lives all his life in wickedness, if one day he should turn to the Lord, all his wickedness will be forgiven. It's the turning and the direction you are walking that is important. It's not how holy you are or how sinful you are. It is who you are facing and who you are walking towards. Excuse me. And that is what is so important. I hope you got that clear. Ezekiel 33, the chapter, will describe that better. What about Luke 6:38? Anyone? You'll remember this. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. There are so many reflexive principles in God's word. I was talking to my son again about this. I have about 20 of them written down in, I have it in Psalm 18, verse 25. There's two there. But I've written all the other ones beside it, all the references, so I can make reference to it. And this is one of them. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Those that honor me, I will honor. With the merciful, I will show myself merciful. With those that are severe, I will show myself severe. In other words, you will determine your own standard of judgment. That is the law of liberty in James chapter 2 in verses 12 and 13. There is a standard, of course, but you determine a lot on how you will be judged by how you treat others. You should all write down James 2, verse 12 and 13, because it is a principle that will affect you one day. And okay, we have time for Luke 14:12. Did somebody have that?
I do.
Okay.
Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee.
Right. I guess we already talked about that. I forgot that was one of the ones I had written. But yeah, about inviting somebody to dinner who would not normally. Like there are churches, and maybe you're guilty of it too, where you never speak to somebody who sits on the other side of the church. You know, have you ever had those times when the pastor will say, well, everybody shake hands with, you know, and you shake hands with the four or five people around you. The same four or five you shook hands with last week. Well, I used to tell people, I want you to go to the other side of the church and shake hands with somebody you haven't shaken hands with either before or in the last year. And it's surprising. But when you make phone calls, do you call the same people all the time? We have a deacons list in our church, and I'm responsible for checking with certain people if we don't see them. And so I'm away so often that I end up checking with everybody. But so I have a list, and I mark off when I last talked to them. And when I go and check that list, I say, "Ooh, there's somebody I haven't talked to or seen for a while." But it's very important. Sometimes a neighbor that you're burdened for, that you've been praying for, have you given them a phone call? Have you dropped by for a coffee or asked them to come join you for a coffee or have them over for dinner? It might be scary. Just in last thing, we don't have time to go through the Beatitudes, but the Beatitudes have a whole list of things that the Lord Jesus exhorted. I'll just read them off quickly. Be merciful, let your light so shine through your good works that your Father may be glorified. Be reconciled to your brother before you worship. Do not look upon a woman and lust after. Cut off your right hand if it offends you, and pluck out your right eye if it offends you. I think that's relating to the Antichrist with the mark of the beast that he's going to put in your right hand, that, you know, if you ever make the mistake of doing it, have it cut off, you know. That's my own weird thing, so don't go by that. The other thing is, if you're ever worried about whether what you're getting is from the Antichrist or not, have it in your left hand. You know, if they're going to put a chip in, put it in your left hand, because the Antichrist puts it in the right hand. Have you ever noticed that when Hitler tattooed the Jews in the camps, it was the left hand? You know why? That was to tell you and I that he was not the Antichrist. Okay? Anyway, and we'll go on. Turn the other cheek. Don't swear. Give up your coat. Go the extra mile. Love your enemy. Be ye perfect. Give alms secretly. Pray secretly. Forgive. Fast. Have your treasure in heaven be rich towards God. Serve only one master. Take no thought. You can't worry and trust at the same time. A friend of mine, that was his favorite saying. He heard it on the radio. You cannot worry and trust God at the same time. You can do one or the other, but you can't do both. Seek first the kingdom of God. Judge not. Take the beam out of your own eye. Cast not pearls before a swine, nor give that which holy to pigs. Ask, seek, knock. Enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way. But the last one is most important. Find Matthew 7, verse 21. Do the will of my Father. There are many people in that day, in Matthew 7, verse 21 and 22, who are going to come and say, "Did we not do all these wonderful things in your name?" And he's going to say, "No, you didn't do my Father's will. You did your will in my name. That doesn't count." And it's very important, because he's going to say to them, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." Which is so important. And the Lord Jesus ends the Beatitudes with saying, "Blessed are those who hear my word and do it." That's the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Does somebody have that? Thank you. Did I give John 15:10 to anyone?
Ask me again. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Yeah, and that's basically the summation of what we've been looking at this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you care about us and you tell us these things. And when people have asked you, "What shall we do then?" we have your answer in your word. So we'd ask your blessing on each one here this morning, the service to follow. We ask your blessing on the missionaries, our government, those who suffer around the world for your name's sake. And we thank you for the young ones downstairs. So we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.